This podcast is brought to you by MITEX, the Massachusetts Innovation and Technology Exchange, the region's premier association for thought leadership, technology trends, building business relationships, and professional training and development. For more information, go to www.mitx.org.
Hey, get your fresh bizcast here. I'm DC Dennison. This week, a conversation with Robert Wiseman, who's just coming off a survey of the venture capital market in New England for the Globe's quarterly venture capital report. In this conversation, Rob talks about what venture capitalists are looking for these days and how companies are strategizing to get their attention. So here's Rob. Rob Wiseman, you just took the pulse of the VC industry, the venture capitalists, for this week's business and innovation section. What's going on? What did you learn when you looked into and got the numbers?
Well, the most striking thing, DC, is that the early stage companies are finding it tougher to get money now than they did in the past. Mm-hmm. The overall numbers are up. The industry is rebounding from the post-bubble doldrums, but more of the money is going to later stage companies. Mm-hmm. It means VCs are playing it more cautious. They're funding more mature companies that are getting ready to go public or be sold, and they're more reluctant to fund companies in the $2 to $5 million range, which companies just right out of the box.
I see. Yeah, I was thinking the definition of early stage would be somebody who's got an office up and running, and they're past the business plan stage, but they're just kind of getting launched, and they just need $2 to $5 million, that range?
Yeah, traditionally, especially in the software and mm-hmm. networking communications world, that's been the early stage range. So they're out of the garage, they're into the office.
Right, right.
They're getting ready to actually sell some products and try mm-hmm. to grow, and they need some money.
Yeah.
And the VCs had always been very attracted to that class. In fact, you know, I think VCs are sort of known as the swashbuckling industry that bankrolls these high-tech startups.
Right,
and,
right.
And they made quite a bit of money on it in the past. Companies like Netscape, you know, companies that actually can do an IPO even before they've had any real sales or any real revenue.
Yeah, yeah. And that's almost the most fun part of the VC industry when you hear about, and you know, you hear about VCs sort of seeing this really brand new technology and taking a chance on it.
Take a chance, and some of them don't work out, but the ones that do work out, they've had the biggest returns from that category.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying, and what you saw is that those kind of investments are going down.
Well, they have been going down steadily for several years now. In fact, throughout the 90s and into this decade, there were more early stage funding than there was late stage funding. Those numbers crossed in about 2003.
Mm.
But for the last few years, later stage is going up, early stage is going down. Mm. And that trend seems to be continuing. And it's beginning to worry some people, both economists and people in the venture industry.
Yeah, what effect does that have?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of the venture industry, you know, it's almost their reason for being in some ways. I think you know, they're concerned about, you know, what it means in terms of replenishing the stock of innovative companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of the economy, areas like New England, the Boston area especially, have historically, you know, one of the pillars of the economy was these venture-backed startups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because historically the smaller companies provide the bulk of jobs, job growth especially. So if you're not getting the startups, as economist Nick Perna pointed out to me, you're not getting the employment growth.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of strategies are some of these companies taking? Are there certain industries? Are there certain ways that some of these startups are sort of pitching themselves to VCs?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think they're having to, you know, as the VCs sort of reassess what they're doing, the companies have to reassess what they're doing. First of all, I think the companies know that the VCs have bigger funds now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more money has flowed into the VC funds. So they can't, if they've got, you know, $100 million or $200 million fund, it's hard for them to finance a bunch of little $3 to $5 million rounds. They have to do bigger rounds.
Right.
So, I mean, one strategy is to go for a bigger round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's done mostly. You see that mostly in the life sciences, biotech.
Right.
Some of these rounds are $7 to $10 million, or some of them are $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one, you know, that's one way to do it. You know, to come up with a business plan that requires a larger round, or you know, maybe expand internationally faster than you would wanted to, or plan to, and you know, take the money.
Yeah. Are they also waiting? I mean, they obviously have to wait longer so that to get into that sort of second round stuff.
Right.
So,
that's the problem. Where there'll be a funding gap from the seed stage. They can often get seed money from angel investors or even from VCs. But to get into that, to get into the next round before they get to the later stages, that's kind of what the gap is.
Yeah.
Some of them are taking first round funding, early round funding from angel investors, private wealthy individuals who want to bankroll a company.
Yeah.
Some of them are trying to find a specialized niche that isn't overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go for Wi-Fi security, or you know internet advertising, or some of these areas that have a lot of interest in it right now, it might be tougher. But if you're in an area by yourself, we talked to one guy who's trying to digitize educational materials.
Yeah.
You know, he feels like he can grab the lead in that area.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to apply technology to underserved markets, to food packaging or to construction materials or whatever.
Wow. Now,
that would be some of the. And then even like one of the biotech firms, Alinea, who that got a big round in Cambridge this past quarter. What they did is they actually own a captive research lab in Brantford, Connecticut, where all of the work that they fund, they have the first rights to it, and the lab has stock in the company.
Oh, I see.
You know, wow. so that would be.
That's kind of an interesting model.
Alinea Pharmaceuticals, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a different type of model.
Yeah, yeah. What about, is the whole field getting more conservative in terms of, you know, when you say things like construction, stuff like that, it seems that's not those aren't the VC kind of ideas that drove the boom, certainly.
Right, but I mean, the VCs are looking for their niche, and they're looking for niches where there's less competition. And I think Vermont Teddy Bear got a round. And,
right.
And I think, you know, that's an example of a company that's not a traditional VC. VC-backed technology company, but maybe using technology to, you know, increase to reach in their distribution, improve their distribution. So that would be the type of deal that VCs are starting to look at right now.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were starting a company now, would you try to get, like, what's a typical seed round? If you, let's say you had, you know, a big idea, would the best strategy today be to go to seek out the angel investors and get what, a few million dollars?
Yeah, or even less than a million to get going for the seed round, and then go to the VCs. And then that's the hurdle. That's the hurdle that we were writing about.
That's the chasm.
I think that if the IPO market improved, you would see more money flowing into that area.
Yeah,
it was always risky, and it always took a lot of due diligence, a lot of time by the VCs, but. What's happened in the past was that they were able to, you know, balance that risk with the promise of a potential reward. Because the IPOs would reward interesting companies even before they had profits.
Yeah.
Now that that's not the case anymore, you've got all the risk and all of the work that goes into investigating these deals without the promise of the big return.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why they're gravitating toward the later stage.
I wonder if the strategy is get that early, you know, seed money, and then quickly get some kind of revenue stream going, that then it doesn't seem so theoretical. Then you've got a product, you're getting something coming in, you're not sort of saying, well, we're almost there.
Right.
Then you're almost in second round stage at that point.
And the other thing is get a technology and basically get it in front of a potential acquirer.
Yeah.
Just like people used to go right into the IPOs, now a lot of technology companies, especially in the software field, are selling out relatively quickly to a Computer Associates or an IBM.
Right.
Or
on the West Coast to a Yahoo or a Google.
Right.
Or an MSN. I mean, that's really an interesting, when you see things like Flickr or some of these, there's so many products where somebody comes up with something and Google buys it, and then you know Yahoo is instantly on the prowl.
Right.
And I remember somebody saying to me, you know, there's no shame in being number two in some of these emerging markets. And you're seeing that now, because if Google or MSN or AOL buys one of these kind of things, then the others feel they have to keep up.
Right.
So anyway, it's still a dynamic market.
It's a dynamic market, and there certainly are buyers for these companies.
Yeah, right.
But there's not as many IPOs. I think that's sort of colored the shift to the later stage as well.
Right, right. Well, Rob, thank you very much. That's a really good snapshot of the industry.
Thanks, DC.
Thanks for listening, and check in next Wednesday for a brand new BizCast. Or better yet, subscribe and have BizCast automatically delivered to your computer and MP3 player.
Hey, get your fresh BizCast here. I'm DC Dennison. This week, a conversation with Robert Wiseman, who's just coming off a survey of the venture capital market in New England for the Globe's quarterly venture capital report. In this conversation, Rob talks about what venture capitalists are looking for these days and how companies are strategizing to get their attention. So here's Rob.
Rob Wiseman, you just took the pulse of the VC industry, the venture capitalists, for this week's Business and Innovation section. What's going on? What did you learn when you looked into and got the numbers?
Well, the most striking thing, DC, is that the early stage companies are finding it tougher to get money now than they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The overall numbers are up. The industry is rebounding from their post-bubble doldrums, but more of the money is going to later stage companies.
Mm-hmm.
It means VCs are playing it more cautious. They're funding more mature companies that are getting ready to go public or be sold, and they're more reluctant to fund companies in the $2 to $5 million range, who companies just right out of the box.
I see. Yeah, I was thinking. The definition of early stage would be somebody who's got an office up and running, and they're past the business plan stage, but they're just kind of getting launched, and they just need $2 to $5 million, that range?
Yeah, traditionally, especially in the software and mm-hmm. networking communications world, that's been the early stage range. So they're out of the garage, they're into the office.
Right, right.
They're getting ready to actually sell some products and try mm-hmm. to grow. And they need some money.
Yeah.
And the VCs had always been very attracted to that class. In fact, you know, I think VCs are sort of known as the, you know, swashbuckling industry that bankrolls these high-tech startups.
Right.
And
right.
And they made quite a bit of money on it in the past. Companies like Netscape, you know, companies that actually can do an IPO even before they've had any real sales or any real revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's almost the most fun part of the VC industry when you hear about and you know, you hear about VCs sort of seeing this really brand new technology and taking a chance on it.
Take a chance, and some of them don't work out, but the ones that do work out, they've had the biggest returns from that category.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying, and what you saw is that those kind of investments are going down.
Well, they have been going down steadily for several years now. In fact, throughout the 90s and into this decade, there were more early stage funding than there was late stage funding. Those numbers crossed in about 2003.
Mm.
For the last few years, later stage is going up, early stage is going down.
Mm.
And that trend seems to be continuing. And it's beginning to worry some people, both economists and people in the venture industry.
Yeah, what effect does that have?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of the venture industry, you know, it's almost their reason for being in some ways. I think you know, they're concerned about, you know, what it means in terms of replenishing the stock of innovative companies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in terms of the economy, areas like New England, the Boston area especially, have historically, you know, one of the pillars of the economy was these venture-backed startups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, historically, the smaller companies provide the bulk of jobs, job growth especially. So if you're not getting the startups, as economist Nick Perna pointed out to me, you're not getting the employment growth.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of strategies are some of these companies taking? Are there certain industries? Are there certain ways that some of these startups are sort of pitching themselves to VCs?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think they're having to, you know, as the VCs sort of reassess what they're doing, the companies have to reassess what they're doing. First of all, I think the companies know that the VCs have bigger funds now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more money has flowed into the VC funds. So they can't, if they've got, you know, $100 million or $200 million fund, it's hard for them to finance a bunch of little $3 to $5 million rounds. They have to do bigger rounds.
Right.
So I mean, one strategy is to go for a bigger round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's done most. You see that mostly in the life sciences, biotech.
Right.
Some of these rounds are $7 to $10 million, or some of them are $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one, that's one way to do it. You know, mm-hmm. to come up with a business plan that requires a larger round, or mm-hmm. Maybe expand internationally faster than you would wanted to, or plan to, and take the money.
Yeah.
Are they also
waiting? I mean, they obviously have to wait longer so that to get into that sort of second round stuff.
Right.
So.
That's the problem. Where there'll be a funding gap from the seed stage. They can often get seed money from angel investors or even from VCs. But to get into that, to get into the next round before they get to the later stages, that's kind of what the gap is.
Yeah.
Some of them are taking first round funding, early round funding from angel investors, private mm-hmm. wealthy individuals who want to bankroll a company.
Yeah.
Some of them are trying to find a specialized niche that isn't overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go for Wi-Fi security or internet advertising or mm-hmm. some of these areas that have a lot of interest in it right now, it might be tougher. But if you're in an area by yourself, we talked to one guy who's trying to digitize educational materials.
Yeah.
He feels like he can grab the lead in that area.
Yeah.
That might be a strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to apply technology to underserved markets, to food packaging or to construction materials or
uh-huh.
whatever.
Wow.
That would be some of the... and then even like one of the biotech firms, Alinea, who that got a big round in Cambridge this past quarter, what they did is they actually own a captive research lab in Brantford, Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
where all of the work that they fund, they have the first rights to it, and the lab has stock in the company.
Oh, I see.
Wow. So that would be.
That's kind of an interesting model.
Alinea Pharmaceuticals, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a different type of model.
Yeah, yeah. What about is the whole field getting more conservative in terms of, when you say things like construction, stuff like that, it seems that's not those aren't the VC kind of ideas that drove the boom, certainly.
Right, but I mean, the VCs are looking for their niche, and they're looking for niches where there's less competition. And
mm-hmm.
I think Vermont Teddy Bear got a round, and
right.
I think that's an example of a company that's not a traditional VC. VC-backed technology
mm-hmm.
company, but maybe using technology to increase their reach in their distribution,
mm-hmm.
improve their distribution. So that would be the type of deal that VCs are starting to look at, right?
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. So if you were starting a company now, would you try to get what's a typical seed round? If you let's say you had a big idea, would the best strategy today be to go to seek out the angel investors and get what, a few million dollars?
Yeah, or even less than a million to get going for the seed round,
mm-hmm.
And then go to the VCs. And then that's the hurdle. That's the hurdle that we were writing about.
That's the chasm.
I think that if the IPO market improved,
mm-hmm.
you would see more money flowing into that area.
Yeah,
it was always risky, and
mm-hmm.
it always took a lot of due diligence, a lot of time by the VCs, but. What's happened in the past was that they were able to, balance that risk with the promise of a potential reward. Because the IPOs would reward interesting companies even before they had profits.
Yeah.
Now that that's not the case anymore, you've got all the risk and all of the work that goes into investigating these deals without the promise of the big return.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why they're gravitating toward the later stage.
I wonder if the strategy is get that early, seed money, and then quickly get some kind of revenue stream going, that then it doesn't seem so theoretical. Then you've got a product, you're getting something coming in, you're not sort of saying, well, we're almost there.
Right.
Then you're almost in second round stage at that point.
And the other thing is get a technology and basically get it in front of a potential acquirer.
Yeah.
Just like people used to go right into the IPOs, now a lot of technology companies, especially in the software field, are selling out relatively quickly to a Computer Associates or an IBM.
Right.
Or
on the West Coast to a Yahoo or a Google.
Right.
Or an MSN. I mean, that's really an interesting when you see things like Flickr or some of these. There's so many products where somebody comes up with something and Google buys it, and then you know Yahoo is instantly on the prowl.
Right.
And, I remember somebody saying to me, there's no shame in being number two in some of these emerging markets. And you're seeing that now, because if Google or MSN or AOL buys one of these kind of things, then the others feel they have to keep up.
Right.
So anyway, it's still a dynamic market.
It's a dynamic market, and there certainly are buyers for these companies.
Yeah, right.
But they're not. There's not as many IPOs. I think that's sort of colored the shift to the later stage as well.
Right, right. Well, Rob, thank you very much. That's a really good snapshot of the industry.
Thanks, DC.
Rob Weissman, you just took the pulse of the VC industry, the venture capitalists, for this week's business and innovation section. What's going on? What did you learn when you looked into and got the numbers?
Well, the most striking thing, DC, is that the early stage companies are finding it tougher to get money now than they did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
The overall numbers are up. The industry is rebounding from their post-bubble doldrums, but more of the money is going to later stage companies.
Mm-hmm.
It means VCs are playing it more cautious. They're funding more mature companies that are getting ready to go public or be sold, and they're more reluctant to fund companies in the $2 to $5 million range, who companies just right out of the box.
I see. Yeah, I was thinking. The definition of early stage would be somebody who's got an office up and running, and they're past the business plan stage, but they're just kind of getting launched, and they just need $2 to $5 million, that range?
Yeah, traditionally, especially in the software and mm-hmm. networking communications world, that's been the early stage range. So they're out of the garage, they're into the office.
Right, right.
They're getting ready to actually sell some products and try mm-hmm. to grow. And they need some money.
Yeah.
And the VCs had always been very attracted to that class. In fact, I think VCs are sort of known as the, swashbuckling industry that bankrolls these high-tech startups.
Right.
And
right.
And they made quite a bit of money on it in the past. Companies like Netscape, companies that actually can do an IPO even before they've had any real sales or any real revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's almost the most fun part of the VC industry, when you hear about you hear about VCs sort of seeing this really brand new technology and taking a chance on it.
Take a chance, and some of them don't work out, but the ones that do work out, they've had the biggest returns from that category.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying, and what you saw is that those kind of investments are going down.
Well, they have been going down steadily for several years now. In fact, throughout the 90s and into this decade, there were more early stage funding than there was late stage funding. Those numbers crossed in about 2003.
Mm.
For the last few years, later stage is going up, early stage is going down.
Mm.
And that trend seems to be continuing. And it's beginning to worry some people, both economists and people in the venture industry.
Yeah, what effect does that have?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of the venture industry, it's almost their reason for being in some ways. I think they're concerned about, what it means in terms of replenishing the stock of innovative companies.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the economy, areas like New England, the Boston area especially, have historically, one of the pillars of the economy was these venture-backed startups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, historically, the smaller companies provide the bulk of jobs, job growth especially. So if you're not getting the startups, as economist Nick Perna pointed out to me, you're not getting the employment growth.
Yeah, yeah. So what kind of strategies are some of these companies taking? Are there certain industries? Are there certain ways that some of these startups are sort of pitching themselves to VCs?
Well, I think so. I mean, I think they're having to, as the VCs sort of reassess what they're doing, the companies have to reassess what they're doing. First of all, I think the companies know that the VCs have bigger funds now.
Mm-hmm.
More money has flowed into the VC funds. So they can't, if they've got, $100 million or $200 million fund, it's hard for them to finance a bunch of little $3 to $5 million rounds. They have to do bigger rounds.
Right.
So, one strategy is to go for a bigger round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's done mostly. You see that mostly in the life sciences, biotech.
Right.
Some of these rounds are $7 to $10 million, or some of them are $20 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one, you know, that's one way to do it, you know, to come up with a business plan that requires a larger round or, you know, maybe expand internationally faster than you would wanted to or plan to, and, you know, take the money.
Yeah. Are they also waiting? I mean, they obviously have to wait longer so that to get into that sort of second round stuff.
Right.
So,
that's the problem. Where there'll be a funding gap from the seed stage. They can often get seed money from angel investors or even from VCs. But to get into that, to get into the next round before they get to the later stages, that's kind of what the gap is.
Yeah.
Some of them are taking first round funding, early round funding from angel investors, private wealthy individuals who want to bankroll a company.
Yeah.
Some of them are trying to find a specialized niche that isn't overpopulated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go for Wi-Fi security or internet advertising or some of these areas that have a lot of interest in it right now, it might be tougher. But if you're in an area by yourself, we talked to one guy who's trying to digitize educational materials.
Yeah.
You know, he feels like he can grab the lead in that area.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to apply technology to underserved markets, to food packaging or to construction materials or whatever.
Wow. Now,
that would be some of the... and then even like one of the biotech firms, Alinea, who that got a big round in Cambridge this past quarter, what they did is they actually own a captive research lab in Brantford, Connecticut, where all of the work that they fund, they have the first rights to it, and the lab has stock in the company.
Oh, I see.
You know, so that would be.
That's kind of an interesting model.
Alinea Pharmaceuticals, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's a different type of model.
Yeah, yeah. What about, is the whole field getting more conservative in terms of, you know, when you say things like construction, stuff like that, it seems that's not those aren't the VC kind of ideas that drove the boom, certainly.
Right, but I mean, the VCs are looking for their niche, and they're looking for niches where there's less competition. And I think Vermont Teddy Bear got a round. And,
right.
And I think, you know, that's an example of a company that's not a traditional VC. VC-backed technology company, but maybe using technology to, you know, increase to reach in their distribution, improve their distribution. So that would be the type of deal that VCs are starting to look at right now.
Yeah, yeah. So if you were starting a company now, would you try to get, like, what's a typical seed round? If you, let's say you had, you know, a big idea, would the best strategy today be to go to seek out the angel investors and get what, a few million dollars?
Yeah, or even less than a million to get going for the seed round, and then go to the VCs. And then that's the hurdle. That's the hurdle that we were writing about.
That's the chasm.
I think that if the IPO market improved, you would see more money flowing into that area.
Yeah,
it was always risky, and it always took a lot of due diligence, a lot of time by the VCs, but what's happened in the past was that they were able to, you know, balance that risk with the promise of a potential reward.
Because
the IPOs would reward interesting companies even before they had profits.
Yeah.
Now that that's not the case anymore, you've got all the risk and all of the work that goes into investigating these deals without the promise of the big return.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the reasons why they're gravitating toward the later stage.
I wonder if the strategy is get that early, you know, seed money, and then quickly get some kind of revenue stream going, that then it doesn't seem so theoretical. Then you've got a product, you're getting something coming in, you're not sort of saying, well, we're almost there.
Right.
Then you're almost in second round stage at that point.
And the other thing is get a technology and basically get it in front of a potential acquirer.
Yeah.
Just like people used to go right into the IPOs, now a lot of technology companies, especially in the software field, are selling out relatively quickly to a Computer Associates or an IBM.
Right.
Or
on the West Coast to a Yahoo or a Google.
Right.
Or an MSN. I mean, that's really an interesting, when you see things like Flickr or some of these, there's so many products where somebody comes up with something and Google buys it, and then you know Yahoo is instantly on the prowl.
Right.
And I remember somebody saying to me, you know, there's no shame in being number two in some of these emerging markets. And you're seeing that now, because if Google or MSN or AOL buys one of these kind of things, then the others feel they have to keep up.
Right.
So anyway, it's still a dynamic market.
It's a dynamic market, and there certainly are buyers for these companies.
Yeah, right.
But they're not. There's not as many IPOs. I think that's sort of colored the shift to the later stage as well.
Right, right. Well, Rob, thank you very much. That's a really good snapshot of the industry.
Thanks, DC.
Thanks for listening, and check in next Wednesday for a brand new BizCast. Or better yet, subscribe and have BizCast automatically delivered to your computer and MP3 player. Thanks for listening, and check in next Wednesday for a brand new BizCast. Or better yet, subscribe and have BizCast automatically delivered to your computer and MP3 player.